When I was growing up during the month of December, my parents disciplined me with the Santa Claus clause. If you don't change your ways, or if you don't act better, then Santa Claus is not going to come. So if you're naughty, you're going to get coal in your stocking, just like over at the rectory this morning. Someone did not receive anything, and his name is Hobbs, Father Green's dog, who is very naughty. Anyway, so when we were kids, we probably all remember aunts and uncles, and have you been good this year? Our parents incorporated that kind of cultural notion of being good or bad, and gift giving and Santa Claus into our our day to day life. Are the discipline of the season. And so that's when I was at Mass, and the gospel from Mark 10, where the rich young man comes to Jesus. He runs up to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responds, "No one is good but God alone." And so that was when I was relieved that none of us are good, so I don't have to worry. I'm off the hook. But there's something to this in the sense of when we talk about Santa Claus as being good or bad and being naughty or nice, right? Christianity is much more than being good or bad or being naughty or nice. The Pope Francis, just a few weeks ago, wrote a kind of a pastoral letter called Apostolic Exhortation. And he quoted a line from Pope Benedict XVI, and as he introduces this line, he says that he never tires of repeating these words of Pope Benedict XVI. He says, "Who said Christianity is not the result of an ethical choice or a lofty idea, but it is an encounter with a person that changes the direction of one's life and the horizon of one's world." So Christianity is not the result of an ethical choice. It's not a matter of being good or bad, then you're Christian. It's much more than that. It's an encounter with a person. It's a relationship. It's something deep. It's a sharing of life. We can kind of maybe think in an analogous way. For those of you who are married, you think about what makes a marriage. Well, marriage is about the commitment and sharing that goes into life between a man and a woman. It's the intimacy. It's the love relationship. And it would be easy to get consumed with the peripheries of marriage, for example. The things that go along with marriage, which might be wealth or security, someone who can cook meals, right? There's a lot of extras, there's a lot of the things that are associated with marriage, but the heart of marriage is the relationship between the husband and wife. And as soon as the focus shifts away from the relationship, from the complete sharing of life between the man and the woman, the relationship begins to go south. And so to think about that also in our relationship with God, in the sense of the life of faith is about an encounter with the Lord. And it's more than just, much more. It's not merely the result of, being naughty or nice. It's not merely the result of following precepts of the church. All of that's part of it. But the heart of it is, the sharing of God's love, that God's saving love, redemptive love. And the beautiful thing is to think about how God comes to us, because he doesn't come to us after we've been good, per se. That is, that's what happens with Santa Claus. He comes to us when we're good. But with God, he comes to us when we're bad. We hear in the scriptures that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son. And you think about, we hear about in the gospel in the gospel today, about the kind of the historical context of Jesus' birth. Our experience of Christmas is, warmth and family and peace and you know, joyful, just, you know, a joyful spirit. But that's really the kind of, in a certain sense, not what was going on at the first Christmas. Think about Augustus Caesar, who was tyrannical as an emperor of Rome, murderer, oppressor, and so he takes a census. And so that's why Joseph, you know, and Mary go to be counted as part of the census that he established or that he decreed, so that he would have, you know, complete absolute control over his people. And the Jews were living in occupied territory. And so they were restricted in the way that they were able to express their religious worship. And you think about Mary and Joseph, you know, that Jesus was born in a stable and laid in a manger. I don't know, I grew up on a farm. I've been in, you know, pig sheds. They don't smell too good, you know. It wasn't a pleasant environment that he was born into. And they're kind of like on the run from the beginning, because Joseph receives in a dream, you know, take the child and flee because someone's after his life, right? And then we have the killing of the innocents from Herod. So it was not an ideal situation. He was born into a world, the darkness and the world of sin. Just like we heard from Isaiah, that first reading, when Isaiah says, a people walking in darkness, therefore a light has come forth. And so the beauty about this is that God is born into our lives in the midst of our darkness. No matter how far we've separated ourselves from God, no matter how far we've distanced ourselves from the Lord and his ways and his life, it is right there that he is born into our lives and calls out for a relationship, a redemptive relationship, encounter. And so it's for that reason that we can, you know, that the angels that we and the heavenly hosts that we hear in the gospel, they sung out, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. And it's such an important message, this giving praise and glory to God, because he comes to meet us where we're at. None of us are good. Only God is good. We're all sinners. And he enters into our lives to attract us, to invite us into relationship, to encounter, to a, you might say, even a spiritual marriage. And so at every Mass, one of the first, or not every Mass, but not during Advent and Lent, but most Mass, Sunday Masses of the year, we sing them at the beginning of Mass, glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. So we're recalling the saving event in which he is born into this dark world to bring us salvation and for us to have the opportunity of friendship and relationship with God, a saving friendship, a saving relationship. This is a beautiful thing for us, and something I hope that we can kind of open our hearts to in hospitality. We often are closed off in the recesses of our soul because of shame, embarrassment, and guilt. But God, he's coming to us in that place, born as a baby, someone vulnerable, not as accuser, so that we might open our hearts to him, that he might restore us to grace and to intimacy with him. And so all of us have reason to give glory to God today, because none of us are good. Santa may not come, but the Lord comes, because he comes to save us in the midst of a dark world. No matter how bad things have become in our lives, in our world, there he is, inviting us, offering us, attracting us to a deeper relationship, an encounter that changes the direction of one's life, that gives life a new horizon.